Malachim Beis Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Vav. Malchus Yisrael collapses for once and for all. Bishnas HaTashiyas LaHoshea, in the ninth year of Hoshea, if you can even call it the ninth year of Hoshea, since he is already a captive in Ashur, bound and imprisoned in Beis Kela. In that year, Lochad, Melech Ashur es Shomron, and we don't hear the name of the king of Ashur in the Tanakh, hence the confusion we mentioned last time, whether it's Shalmaneser or whether it's going to be Sargon II, who follows him afterwards. But the king of Ashur, whoever he was, conquered Samaria. By Yegel es Yisrael Ashura. And he exiled, by Yegel, Golus, Gola, he exiled Israel to Ashur. By Yoshev Osam, Bachlach uvechavor, and he settled them in Chalach, in Chavor, which is a river, Nehar Gozan, at the river Gozan, Va'are Modai, and in the towns of Medea. So they are being repatriated from the land of Israel to other cities elsewhere, out in exile. Now, this is important because we know that Sancheriv later will do similar things. The empire of Ashur was religiously tolerant. And some say this is the ultimate bad fate of the Jews of Yisrael, is that never very strong in their beliefs or in their holding tight to the ways of their fathers, the Jews of Yisrael are challenged further by a tolerant, lighter gullus, by club-fed, not ghettoized, not stigmatized, not tortured as Jews. They are encouraged to adopt Assyrian ways and Assyrian culture. They basically assimilated and faded in to the larger culture which allowed them to do so. Part of the American gullus has got this issue. You think about the 85% assimilation rate that they estimate among American Jewry, and you see the huge danger towards Jewish tradition, ongoing life, and community by virtue of the fact that once one starts intermarrying into the other culture, within a few generations, there's not going to be much left. So some historians say that it's the tolerance of Assyria that turns out to be part of what the biggest problem is. But there's another issue here, and that's the issue of repatriation, because the Ashur Empire thrived on the idea that they took natives out of their land and put them in some other land. Hence the introduction of the Kusim to the land of Samaria. Some say Ethiopians, but the land of Kus, of C-U-T-H, who eventually are brought in to repatriate Israel because they are not Israelis and don't have any loyalty or blood tie to the land the way the Jews did. So if the Jews go to the river Gazor and the cities of Medea, they're strangers in a strange land. The Kusim who are brought to Samaria are equally strangers in a strange land. Nobody's loyal to anybody except Ashur, which is the point, to minimize any damage that can be done by rebellious, fractious patriots who want to resurrect the kingdom that has been destroyed by Assyria. But as we're about to see, because the message in Malachim is never just to be a history book. Tanakh is not a history book. What Tanakh is all about, to use the words of a wonderful writer named Yael Ziegler, the Tanakh is not primarily a history book. Its purpose is theological, moral, and didactic. Theological, study of religion, moral, and didactic, to teach. The tale of the history is the relationship between God and humanity. There is no attempt to offer a complete historical account. There is no notion of subjectivity. Instead, it is designed to illustrate a particular theological understanding of historical events for an edifying purpose. The Nach is there to teach us lessons about our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to us, and about causality, and particularly the concept that our deeds have consequences. And the rest of Perek Yud Zayin is a long litany of how the deeds of Yisrael, and yes, the righteous country of Yehuda as well, have dire consequences for the future of the Jewish people. And we need to understand that. And so there's almost this parenthetical insertion here to teach us a lesson that should be obvious from the entire history of Sefer Melachim that we've been studying for well more than a year at this point. So it's a point well taken. So we'll start it and we'll continue. This will take several days. But Pasuk Zayin Vayhi Ki Chatu V'nei Yisrael LaHashem Elokeihem. This is not just geopolitical forces at work. This is not just a vacuum of power and a new empire trying to step in where an old empire was crumbling. No, this was all manipulated and arranged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by God, who didn't just, as Thomas Aquinas and some of the Christian thinkers say, the world is not a clock that God winds up and lets run by itself. The concept in Judaism is that God is an attentive master of the universe, and he's active in world events. And so it was, Vayihi, always tragedy, the word Vayihi. And so it was when the Bnei Yisrael sinned against Hashem, their God. Hamala osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, mitachas yad paro melech Mitzrayim. Always, always, always the key. A lack of hakaras hatov, a lack of gratitude and appreciation. God had been the one to bring us up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Paro, the king of Egypt. Vayiru'u Elohim acherim. But the Jewish people instead abandoned God, cheated on their spouse, strayed from the proper way, and instead feared other gods and took them upon themselves as deities. And of course, more about that, the primary guilty sin of Malchus Yisrael as we go on.